2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form.
By searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Joining us now, NBA Insider, Heavy.com. Sean Devaney, kind enough to join us. All right, so I, in some way, shape, or form, either as a producer or an on-air host, I've talked to Sean for probably, 15, 20 years covering the NBA. I just pulled up your Twitter bio, Sean. Buffalo Wing Enthusiast. All right, so we got to talk about this here for a second. Are you does it need to be deep fried wing? What describe to me your perfect buffalo wing?
Yeah, well, it's got to be crunchy. I don't want a lot of stuff on it, though. I don't want that breading. So you can do that deep frying. You can do it if you bake them as well. You use a little bit of baking powder, and that makes them good and crispy. That's how I had a great joy a couple months ago. I took my daughter. And we drove all the way from Massachusetts to Niagara Falls, but we stopped at the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, where they invented the buffalo wing. So did a little pilgrimage there, but it's a bit of a lifelong love of mine.
Scotty and I got to judge a wing competition over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
It was an official, kind of a certified wing competition that they brought here to Salt Lake City, and Scotty helped organize it. And we just tried about every wing you could imagine. Some heavy bread, some no bread, some smoked, then deep fried, some rolled in Takis, then deep fried. It was a real mix. And I can tell you pretty sincerely, and there were some much higher level judges there than me, that every single wing I ate, I love. There are very few wings I come across. I'm like, nope.
I agree with you 100%. As long as they're not boneless.
Yeah. Are you ranch or blue cheese?
I like blue cheese.
Yes.
I can deal with ranch, but I go blue cheese.
Blue cheese all day, every day.
So the place, the Anchor Bar, the place that invented the chicken wing, like how do they do it? Do they deep fry or what's their philosophy?
Yeah, theirs is deep fried, but they're not heavily breaded at all. It really is just the wing, and then the sauce is not overwhelmingly spicy, but it's good. It's got a good bite, but not won't blow your head off. So I really liked it.
Was it originally served with ranch or originally served with blue cheese, or did they not have an original option?
Yeah, I don't. That's a good question. I'm not sure if there was an original thing. I know. the story is that, like, the lady's son came back late one night and his friends were with him, and she didn't have much on hand, so she just made some wings and threw some butter and hot sauce into a pan, and boom, the buffalo wing was invented.
That's where it came from.
And who was the moron that decided to throw carrots and celery?
I know. Get rid of that stuff. We don't want that.
I'm not here for salad.
Well, Sean, you know, we talked about this. Obviously, every radio show, national or local, is talking about LeBron James. And, you know, our thought was, is that, you know, look, I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's LeBron being LeBron and making it about him. But I do think the magnitude of the moment, he's tired, he's old, in a lot of pain. He saw his best friend or one of his close friends retire earlier. In his mind at that point, he probably is thinking about it. Now, I don't think he will. I think, you know, at the end of the day, he won't. But where were you at on LeBron and some of the comments he made last night?
Yeah, and you know, I made some calls this morning and kind of got a reaction around the league that was much of what you just said. You know, it's a 38-year-old guy who's just laid everything he had. 49-10 in the game, and really looked like they were going to win for much of that game. And really those last couple of possessions, you know, really weren't good for him personally. And I'm sure at that point, the disappointment of all that, he's feeling all that. And that feeds into, man, I don't know, I want to go through all of this again and do all those summer work and all that stuff. But that's, you know, if you're 38 and you're sitting at the podium right after the loss, it's only natural that that's going to be, that's going to be part of your thought process. Don't forget though that LeBron James, is notoriously tight with money, and he's got $100 million remaining on 2 years on that contract. So he's got some pretty good incentive to say, "All right, well, I will get myself back on the floor and get myself playing again."
So he and Anthony Davis are on the same time frame with their contract. They've got another year coming up after this, and then they've got the player option, as you mentioned, for $50 million or just over $50 million. And the Lakers are committed about $107 million to the cap right now. How much does he sit back and look at what the Lakers have the capability of doing and thinking to himself, I'm going to have to drag this team again because we can't bring in the pieces we need? Does that sit as a frustration point on him?
Yeah, and there is the notion, and some people have brought this up, that he doesn't have a whole lot of leverage over the organization at this point. And one of the things that he can do to make sure that they spend the money they need to spend and do all the things that he wants them to do is to hold retirement out there as a possibility to give him some leverage. I'm not sure that was really the thought process of what he said last night, but it certainly is an offshoot of it. It does give him some leverage to make sure he gets some of the things he wants. You know, look, they were a number 7 seed. They were a terrific team from February on after they made all the trades. You know, certainly the best defensive team in the league after that. So, you know, I think the presumption is that they bring back this group with maybe some tweaks, that they'll be in pretty good shape. It's just a matter of what those tweaks are going to be, how major they are, and whether they're the ones that LeBron James wants.
You released a piece, and I think it's a fascinating one because Austin Reeves is now going to be on the open market. And is this a guy that could be a 9-figure contract before it's all said and done?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I was talking to a GM and he said, you know, you look at what he's done and you look at the playoffs he just had and you compare that to, say, RJ Barrett, who got, over $100 million last summer, you know, about 120 with the incentives. What's the difference? You know, who's the better player? And he said, you know, Austin Reeves won't be thought of that way because it wasn't a top 3 pick and he came out of seemingly nowhere. But you look at the production, and you know, if you just hit up the names, then you'd probably say, these guys should get paid about the same. And that was sort of his point. And Anthony Simons is another example, that should be the comp, for Austin Reeves. doesn't mean that that's how it's going to play out, but that's that was sort of the comparison that was made, is that he does belong in that group of players when you look at the way he played and what his potential still is for such a young guy. So, will he get to $100 million? Probably not. But if you're talking about 80 or 90 over 4 years, probably. And that's going to be really tough for the Lakers. Lakers will be able to match that, but because of the CBA, it's going to be tough, and there's going to be a lot of pain that comes with that when you get to the second half of that contract the last 2 years. So he's going to be a really fascinating case to watch.
Nikola Jokic was awarded the Western Conference MVP after the sweep last night, and I think there were a lot of people that talked about maybe Jamal Murray deserving it more. What do you think about the MVP award, and do you feel like Jamal Murray should have been in that conversation?
Yeah, I think there's no question he should have been in the conversation, and that he was. I don't think it was something that he wasn't even considered. But I think just looking at historically what kind of series this was for Jokic, the numbers that he put up, certainly what Murray did in terms of his scoring, they don't win that series without him. But you got a guy who averages 28, 14 and a half, and 12 assists. That's going to be your MVP series right there. I don't think it necessarily takes anything away from Murray. I think everything kind of starts with Jokic. And when it starts with Jokic and he still puts up those numbers, then I think he's got to get that award.
Assuming that Philadelphia wins either tonight or in game five, or excuse me, not Philadelphia, Miami, excuse me. Game four, game five.
Everybody.
Yeah, I know, right? do you anticipate Joe Mazzulla will be on the unemployment line?
No, I think they wind up keeping him. It's you can really go back and forth on it. It would be a pretty easy thing for them to do, to pull the trigger on firing him and getting into the mix on a Monty Williams, this other caliber of coaches that is out there. But I think that the thing that the Celtics are looking at is, we have Brad Stevens, and then we go to Ime Udoka, then we go to Joe Mazzulla. We're going to really go to a fourth coach in 4 years. That's a tremendous amount of up and down. It's a tremendous amount of, for what's still a fairly young team. I mean, a team that should certainly be in its stride, but is still developing. To have four coaches in 4 years like that might not be a good idea. So I'd be surprised if they do fire him. Obviously, there's been plenty of time. I live in Boston, so it's been sort of nonstop for the last couple weeks. I'm not sure that there's a lot that can be gained from this. And I think I think what the Nuggets are doing right now is kind of an example of why you shouldn't do something like that. They've been patient. They've let this team experience some upset. I mean, they lost in the first round last year, right? They didn't fire Michael Malone. They brought him back. Now they're in the finals. I do think that there's some lessons to be learned there, and I'd be surprised if the Celtics, really wanted to bring in yet another coach for next season.
How ugly of a look is this? Western and Eastern Conference sweeps in what, a 9 or 10 day period between the end of the conference finals and the NBA finals kicking off? How bad of a look is this for the NBA, or how good of a look is it?
Yeah, it's not ideal, they usually in the past they've had dates that they can bump up to just in case something like this happens, and it just never happens. So they didn't have it in place this year. It's way too long of a layoff. Especially it's going to be especially tough because you have teams that are sort of low interest, in terms of not being in huge markets, not having, the global following that some of the other franchises have. So, it's going to be tough for the NBA to come back in almost 2 weeks and say, hey, come watch our finals, you know, because people will have, you know, will have moved on by then and kind of forgotten that the Heat are playing the Nuggets. So, you know, it's obviously it's a bit of bad luck in what's been an otherwise really good NBA postseason.
Is there anything that you can compare this Miami run to and what they're doing?
Not really. I mean, you know, people have brought up the Knicks in 1999 when they were in 8 seed, but that was such a stupid year,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because it was the lockout year, and it was whatever, it was 50 games. So, you know, it just wasn't really legitimate. And this isn't really a team where you can say, okay, you know, somebody was like, or like you have with the Lakers, you know, where they were number 7 seed, and you could say, okay, you know, LeBron was hurt, Anthony Davis was hurt, they made a bunch of trades, they're a different team now than they were in February. This is the same team. I mean, not only that, it's worse because they lost Hero one game into the playoffs. So I can't, just for a team to, you know, come in without having made any major changes and just be a championship caliber team after really, you know, I mean, they lost their first play-in game. So, I mean, just being the skin of their teeth getting into the playoffs and then to go ahead without any major changes, without anybody getting healthy, to come in and just destroy, you know, really the number one team, Milwaukee, and now the number two team, Boston. I've never seen anything quite like that, really, in any sport.
So we are almost exactly 1 month away from the 2023 NBA draft. Obviously, the San Antonio Spurs got that first pick out of the draft lottery. It feels like it was staged. It feels like it was planned. Greg Popovich getting Victor Wembanyama. How much does that extend his career, and what does this do for San Antonio?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing for Pop has always been, you know, I want to leave the franchise in a good situation. And I think he's been frustrated that they've kind of gone backwards on that, that some of the things they thought might work out didn't really work out. And they've never really been able to be quite the team that he wanted them to be going forward. You know, but he's 74 years old. And as much as this team is his identity, I think he does sort of want to step away. I think he'd like to coach Wembanyama for 1 year, and then move on. You know, they've got a ton of cap space, bring in some guys that they can surround, maybe get them pointed toward the playoffs, if not quite, into the playoffs exactly. So, you know, I think that's the mindset here, is that this might be something where, okay, you know, 1 year with Wembanyama, get things moving in the right direction, and then step away.
So there's a couple things going on here in Utah. There's a lot of fans that are a little grumpy because they see the Spurs, and, you know, there's always been this Jazz San Antonio rivalry since, you know, John and Carl. And so there's some fans here that are grumpy that the Jazz didn't do enough losing to get in that conversation, because, hey, look, the Spurs were committed to losing, and guess what? They've got the number one overall pick. But also, you look at the Detroit Pistons, they're a cautionary tale of they went all in losing, and now they're drafting 5. So do you, should people be emulating the Spurs, or should they not? Because you could end up like the Pistons and, you know, win, you know, 16, 17 games and get stuck with the 5th pick.
Yeah, and you know, there's a bunch of ways to look at it, right? Because I think, you know, Danny Ainge did what he could to kind of set up, I wouldn't say necessarily a bad season,
yeah,
but to set themselves up for, you know, for a rebuild, for a, and what you didn't count on was, you know, Lauri Markkanen playing the way he did, Jordan Clarkson playing the way he did, you know, you go up and down the line, and some of the younger guys coming through, Kessler, guys like that. So, yeah, you know, is that a bad thing? You know, I mean, is it bad that they had players who wound up being even better than they thought they were going to be, and had them playing well before they thought they would really hit this stride? You know, it's hard to say that's a bad thing. I don't think you want to get players like that in and tell them don't try too hard because we're trying to lose, that sets you up in a bad way, in a much different frame. You know, you look at Philadelphia, right? I mean, I still think that when you look at, a guy like Joel Embiid and sort of that organization as a whole, I still think they're paying a price for the process because, you know, they came in with such a losing mentality and now, when they're talented enough to win, they don't do it. And you know, it really, it's just Embiid that's left. But you know, he's been a big part of that failure. And you could make an argument that goes back to the process. So, you know, there's a few ways to look at it. I think the right thing to do is exactly what Danny Ainge did, and that is get good young players in, be prepared to lose. But if you don't lose as much as you didn't, you got to have a plan B. You know, you can't just expect that you're going to go out there and get the number one pick. That's not the way it's going to work.
So with that said, what is plan B for the Jazz, and how aggressive do you think Danny Ainge is in this offseason?
You know, I don't think he's going to be too aggressive. I think, they've got picks, so they should get, I think, what is it, three, I believe, first rounders.
Yeah.
So you'll get a rookie class. I think you're going to have to make some decisions on what you want to do with some of the veteran guys. How you want to play that, and whether you bring back enough guys to keep you sort of pointed in the right direction, or do you want to go back to trying to lose, or are you going to take the step forward and try to win a little bit? I think this will still be a transition year for them, though. So I think that, you take the rookies, maybe you sign a young guy here or there if somebody comes available. But I don't see them being too aggressive in terms of we're going to try to make the playoffs next year.
If you were Utah Jazz front office, would you touch Damian Lillard's contract? If you could make a move and get Damian, would you touch that contract?
No, it would have to be sort of laden with picks, and I don't see Portland doing that. You know, they're going to want picks back. Like you can do the thing that Oklahoma City does where you take on a huge contract, but you're getting like all these other assets along with it. Problem is that Lillard's contract runs is not just a 1-year deal here. You know, he's got 3 years on it. So, that's a pretty good commitment. And then you're in a position where you now have to build around Damian Lillard. You know, you can't just, he's not the kind of player that you could just plug in. He is somebody you have to kind of build around his style of play. And they don't seem to want to do that. So, I mean, I think it'd be a nice story if you go back and finish out his career with the Jazz. That'd be great. But I just think, yeah, between the money, between the fact that Portland is looking for assets, not looking to package assets away with Damian Lillard, and just the fact that he is such a he's got a lot of gravity. You know, everything kind of revolves around him, and I'm not sure the Jazz want to take that step.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time, Sean. Great stuff as always, and we'll always be on the lookout for a good wing. So thanks for your time.
Yeah, excellent. All right, thank you, guys.
You got it. Sean Devaney, Heavy.com. Great NBA insider. Had a story today about Austin Reeves. Lloyd retweeted it. Again, I've either as a producer or as a host had him on shows for, I think almost 20 years. Are you with the light breading? You want deep fried, but not heavy breading. Is that right?
I'll take a heavy breading.
I will too. I don't mind a heavy breaded wing.
Not against it at all. The only way I don't want a wing, well, there's two ways. I don't want it baked, and I don't want it boiled.
Oh, boiled. Ugh, no.
You can smoke it for me.
Yeah, which is essentially baking, but kind.
But it just gives you some extra flavor. What I'd prefer, though, is if you're going to smoke it, end it with a nice fry. You can. One of the people that I was talking to said that they'll smoke it for a period of time and then they'll hit it in the deep fryer.
Smart.
Sealing some of that flavor. But there's not too many wings that I'll shoo away. I do like it more. I like my wing more cooked. You get those undercooked wings and they're a little bit I don't want to use the word slimy. They're
no, I know what you're talking
a little
about.
Slick. I like
a little crisp.
Yeah,
a little
I like
crispness
it.
To it.
I like it, not dry, but I'm going to dip that thing in blue cheese whether it wants it or not. And that's going to add some moisture.
Yeah.
So I want my wing to be the right consistency. Yeah.
By the way, Hans is over there in that competition making cracks about he wants his wing medium rare. That didn't go over well with people. Some old guy sitting next to him, I'm like, are we? What? He's looking at you like, are we going to have a problem?
Why was he being crusty?
He was being crusty to you big time. We forgot to talk about this. Yeah,
I thought that
he wasn't
looking like a jerk.
He wasn't filling your shtick at all. Yeah.
What's his deal? I was glad that at least you turned around and said something because I felt awkward. Yeah, the whole table was looking
so my back was to Hans, and I hear Hans cracking jokes trying to make the table light, and it's fallen flat. Like, nobody's having it. So I turn around like, bah, ha, 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 like, I got you. Because I'm like, I can't leave you out to dry like that.
I said if there's a medium rare wing, I'm going to judge it high. And the guy goes, well, so this is how we're going to start this? I was like, what?
Okay. Easy.
And people are looking at me at the table like, that's not funny.
Pretty hoity-toity.
Yeah, though. They were pretty.
Jeez.
Yeah, there's some of those people that weren't having it. My table was pretty loose. We had a good table at mine. But
pinky out crowd. I was like, jeez. I said, I like a nice, even 98-degree internal on my chicken. And he goes, well, what?
Boy, are you trying to get us killed? What's going on here?
All right, jerk.
Bob, chill out.
it's a wing-eating judgment here, all right?
So is this wing-eating Bob?
Wing-eating Bob,
I'm glad
yeah.
you remembered that.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of bugged. I'm like, lighten up, Francis. Have a laugh.
Oh, boy. All right, joining us now, Jeff Donovan. It's time for you to get your free consultation. If you're a business owner and you're hearing all these conversations about ERC and you want to see if you're available to get some money back, now's the time to do it. 801-895-3777. And, you know, and Jeff, here's the other thing, too. Is there like a deadline coming up or what's the is you know, we want our listeners to have some urgency here. Is there a timeline they need to get this done?
Well, I think there's a hard deadline and a soft deadline. The hard deadline is April 15th of next year. We'll lose some of the benefits. The soft deadline is Congress can change their mind any time.
That's true. So with that said, if you're a business owner and even if your tax professional said you don't qualify for this, that may not necessarily be the case.
Yeah, you definitely want to give me a call because your tax professional may be correct. He may not have had enough revenue reduction, but your tax professional may not understand all the amendments and changes to the ERC program over the last 2.5-3 years, which includes two of the biggest changes, supply chain disruptions. So if your business was not able to buy as many things as it normally can because of supply chain disruptions, and you believe you could have done at least 10% more business had you not had those supply chain disruptions, that's one of the qualifiers. I've been helping probably 40 to 45% of the zone callers with qualifying to get their refunds with supply chain disruptions, as well as the last caller just called me. They had a lot of their business canceled because their clients were impacted negatively by COVID, so it affected their business, and they could have done at least 10%. That's a partial shutdown. So if you've had anything that's hurt your business during the COVID period, and you're looking for a way to get some additional refunds that are available to you, you should call me.
Well, the thing is, this is money that's available, and you want to squeeze every little dime you can. And there's probably some CPAs out there that try to do this, but they don't specialize in this. You can get people more money because this is what you do.
Yeah, it is. It is what we specialize in. There's more than 200 pages of IRS code. And CPAs, you need to remember, CPAs are income tax professionals. This is a payroll tax program. So many of the CPAs out there aren't as familiar with all the 200 pages of code having to do with payroll tax. And we are. We have over 200 employees that just do this. We've helped businesses throughout America and locally get over $6 billion in refunds in the last 2 years. So you owe it to yourself to give me a call. The call costs nothing. You only pay if you get refunds from us.
801-895-3777. That's the number to call. Give Jeff a call And again, the information is absolutely free, and you can figure out if this is going to work for you. You're not going to pay a dime until that check comes from the government. 801-895-3777. Call right now. Let's go get you squared away right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports app.
I love it.
Where you can listen to the Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming the Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, we're giving away tickets right now. Make this part of the good. Your chance to win tickets to see Nate Margazzi. Call number 12, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. You win a pair of tickets. See him at the Delta Center on September 30th. Tickets will be transferred electronically at a later date, but be calling number 12 right now for your chance to win, 801-575-ZONE.
That's one part of the good. The other part of the good is Slick, their baseball team, just qualified for the Junior College World Series. It's the first time in program history. Salt Lake Community College baseball team, on Saturday, they faced off against the Storm of Southeast Community College. That's out of Nebraska. And they ended up beating them 14-1.
Woo.
Whooped them. And that helped them advance to the JUCO World Series for the first time in Salt Lake Community College baseball history.
Let's go.
Come on, Slick.
Kevin Dustin, athletic director out there, listener, good friend of the station. Congrats to him. Congrats to that baseball team.
Well, they do a great job with their sports.
Basketball team is always highly ranked in the JUCO mm-hmm. world. They do a tremendous job. That athletic program does really good work out there.
I watched them up close and personal on their women's volleyball side of things because my daughter played against them quite a few times over her 2 years at Snow. And they were always very competitive, very good, and it's fun to see our local teams do big things. And making it to the Junior College World Series, that's great. We'll kind of follow that journey. If they can make it a little bit, maybe we get their manager on.
Yeah.
Maybe we grab their athletic director and give them some love. As we've kind of followed these Utah men's and women's sports as they've made runs nationally, and BYU's done the same in the past, and we've kind of jumped on board and gone along with them. This is a cool thing.
There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, it wouldn't be an offseason if Pittsburgh coach Pat Narduzzi isn't complaining about something. Look, he went after USC a couple years ago. Last year, he goes after Kyle Whittingham and the Utes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Now he's going after Deion Sanders and his use of the transfer portal. Said, quote, "That's not the way it's meant to be." Said at the ACC spring meetings, that's not what the transfer portal rule intended to be. It's not to overhaul your roster. We'll see how it works out. But to me, that looks bad on college football coaches across the country. The reflection is on one guy right now. But when you look at it overall, those kids that may have moms and dads and brothers and sisters and goals in life, I don't know how many of those 70 that really wanted to leave or were kicked in the butt to get out. The program, again, Colorado, he's talking about Deion Sanders, seen 51 scholarship players enter the transfer portal or put in the transfer portal since Sanders took over the program. He has replaced that production by adding 47 players and still counting from the portal.
47 that he's already grabbed out of the portal and brought in. That is a tremendous turnover.
Yeah.
50 gone. When he stepped into that original team meeting and we heard the Louis Vuitton speech, and he told people, jump in the portal, do what you got to do, but we're coming. And kids started jumping the portal, and he has been very upfront that the talent that was there was not good enough. As I mentioned to you, I was at a spring game. Won't mention which one.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a coach of that spring game, and that coach told me that it was the worst talent he'd seen on a roster in Division I football. The worst compilation of talent that he'd seen on a roster in Division I football. So you know there were changes that were necessary, that were needed. But 51? 51 scholarship players jumped into the portal.
Yeah.
51. That's an absurd amount.
Yeah.
And I think another, 20 left because of expiring.
Yeah, you graduated. Yeah.
They're... eligibility ran out.
Now BYU's gotten one, right? From Colorado?
I think BYU did get one.
I know Utah State got one. And so these guys are going to float around and try to find places to play. And a lot of them will, but some won't. Some of them were kicked to the curb and aren't going to find a place anymore.
Some might have to go to a lower division. And,
yeah.
You know, if you want to go to lower division. And correct me if I'm wrong, Scotty. Colorado was honoring the schooling end of things.
So if you decided, look, I love Colorado. He obviously doesn't want me on a team, but I love the school. My girlfriend's here, whatever the case is. They would still honor the scholarship. If you wanted to just stay and go to school there, they would honor the scholarship, which to me I think is actually pretty cool.
They take care of your academic end of things.
Yeah.
So if you're ready to call it quits because you had just the worst experience and you don't feel like there's another school out there that's going to give you the scholarship, then I might just stick around, get my degree, figure out an occupation.
But, you know, these 20-year-old kids still think they're going to the NFL. That, they're like, I'm just, you know, Coach Prime doesn't know what I've got. I'll go somewhere and prove him wrong.
Hey, so Pat, put your money where your mouth is and give a home to 20 of these guys.
Look, that dude's it's a bad look for him. And every summer, he's complaining about something. When he lost the wide receiver to USC, he got upset. He was, you know, comes after the University of Utah last year. Now he's going after. Just shut up and worry about your team. I mean, if you complain about everything, nobody cares about you anymore.
He does get really loud, doesn't he?
Yeah. All right. There's your bad. Time for the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
Have you seen the accident footage of this?
Yeah, this is not good.
Really scary moment. Indianapolis 500 practice yesterday. Stephon Wilson was taken off the track on a stretcher. His car got hit really hard, a violent collision. Took him into the wall. Female driver Catherine Legg pulled off to the right side and hit him so hard that both of their cars actually ran into the wall. She was okay. He is not okay. According to social media, Stephon Wilson has suffered a fracture of the 12th thoracic vertebrae. Mm. Anytime you crack vertebrae and break your back, you're in bad shape. So that takes him out of the race. And who knows how long that keeps him away from racing. I know that you can still drive once a fractured vertebrae gets healed, but when you're talking about wrecking that back and getting close to that spinal cord, that's life-altering. And I've also heard breaking your back, I've heard, is just an insane amount of pain.
Yeah.
I've had back tweaks. I've had some back injuries, but never a broken bone in the back.
No. And hopefully that never happens.
Here's what's crazy. Okay, so Scotty, I'm going to make you an Indy 500 car driver.
All right.
And I'm going to make John an Indy car 500 driver. No, this isn't. This is actually pretty rough.
No, I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
Let's say in 2015, John's driving his Indy 500, or he's driving in a race.
My older brother.
And he flips a car, he wrecks, and he dies. Do you still drive after that? Do you still drive competitively if a family member, your brother, because this happened to Stefan.
I mean.
His brother, Justin, died on the track in 2015.
I mean, you go to the king, what's his name? Dale Earnhardt. He died on the track, and his son kept racing for a long, long time.
Dale Jr. did. The Intimidator did die out there.
Yeah. So I guess when it's in your blood and that's who you are and your identity and you don't want to give that up.
I guess I put it into football terms. If I had a brother that died in football.
Would you have given it up? When you know that's how you can make your living and that's the only, that's all you know?
Probably not. I guess you just keep going.
Yeah.
You just keep going because you're right. The money's there, the name. You've already built your name and your career. But that is extremely tragic. And Stefan Wilson is going to have a pretty lengthy recovery. And I don't know what happened to Catherine Legg. I don't know what it was. I don't know if her tire blew. But you see the way her car pulls into his? It wasn't your typical bump. It was like she just flew into him. Took them both into the wall. Cars didn't flip.
Yeah.
It was just a heavy collision into the wall. And yeah. Apparently that's what broke the back.
Jeez.
Well, I don't want to race, man.
When, you know, Roddy Byrne's career came to an end, Cole Trickle kept on racing.
Yeah, but it took him a while to get going.
I know.
Like, it messed with him.
It messed with him. But he got through it.
Is that
sugar packet?
Took a couple sugar packets to get there.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
It took me a second, but it got there.
It's all right.
Cold Trickle.
Was it Rowdy Burns?
Yeah, Rowdy. Okay. I can't remember the last name, but I do remember Rowdy. Just destroying some Ford Tauruses.
I know.
Underrated Tom Cruise movie. That I don't think got selected. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be sitting in with Jake, and I'm going to be doing a What You Got Wednesday with Jake tomorrow.
Good.
So, things are going to get real. I'm taking it personal.
Things are going to get real.
Yeah.
What is this, real world?
Yeah, they're stop being friendly.
Stop it. And start getting real.
Not going into this thing to make friends. We're trying to pick a winning list here.
Oh, boy. Watch out. Tomorrow, that 11 a.m. hour is going to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, another edition of Whole World News, straight ahead, right here on The Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He's a senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports. He's great, Dan Devine.
The talent that could be available in a trade could be insane in the next 18 months. Is that just what the league looks like now, and is it always going to look like that, or are we just at a weird point?
I think this is closer to the new normal. You know, the expectations, the pressure is so high. The stakes are so high for the franchises, also for the players. And we have arrived at a time where it's like, if you want to compete, if you want to contend for the title, you're not thinking like 6 years down the line. You can't. You're all in now. I think we are not going backward from a place where stars know that they want to get to places where they feel like they can compete and contend, and they want to get there faster rather than slower. And teams, when they decide it's time for us to try to hit the gas and try to compete, once you hit the gas, once you go all in, you can't turn back from it. And sometimes, you know, that gets you across the finish line, and sometimes it smacks you into a brick wall.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Hey, registration now open for the Larry H. Miller Utah Summer Games in Cedar City. Join nearly 10,000 athletes of all ages and abilities that compete in over 40 different events this June. Register now at utahsummergames.org. That's utahsummergames.org. Hey, Lloyd, you see who the new executive director of the Utah Summer Games is? Our old buddy John Oglesby. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We used to work with him. He used to be at the Big Sky office. We've known him for a long time. Now he's running the Utah Summer Games.
I'm sure the Big Sky is missing him.
Went to the Big Sky, was at the UHSAA, and now Summer Games. So there you go. Congrats to Ogs. He's a good dude. All right, you ready for a little whole world news here,
Hans? Let's do it.
All right, let me introduce you to Kavian Thomas and DeRodney Russell. They are inmates in the Fulton County Prison. The old, I don't know if it's the same Fulton County prison, but
Johnny Cash?
Johnny Cash, yeah. Anyway, this is in an old, old prison. It is falling apart, and Kavian Thomas and DeRodney Russell hate each other. They have been trying to get after each other for a long, long time in prison, so much so that they put the two of them on alternating schedules so that they would never be in the same place at the same time. These guys had their schedules staggered so that the prison did not want these guys killing each other because they were very close several times. Well, Kavian Thomas figured out, because this prison is starting to fall apart, he goes Andy Dufresne, not in a way to try to escape, but to get to DeRodney Russell. So he spends months with a shiv chipping away at the center block to the point where he finally is able to get a hole in the wall. The wall then is the hole in the wall is allows him to get into the shower area. And then from the shower area, he's able to time it out to where DeRodney Russell is in his cell. The cell door is open. It's an open time. And he rushes after waiting months and months of slowly just chipping away. He creates a hole so he can get into the cell, into the shower area, pounces on DeRodney Russell, and stabs him multiple times. Now, there were many other inmates there. They were able to pull this guy off of the other inmate to the point where it was superficial stab wounds to his upper body. He is not dead. He's been treated in a medical unit. Obviously, Kavian Thomas is going to have a little extra time added to his sentence. But there you can see the amount of time and the hole that he was able to dig for the sole purpose of not escaping. But because he hated this dude so much, he spent months chipping away at the blocks to be able to not escape, but to try to kill this other dude.
Didn't even get the job done.
Yeah.
Probably spending a couple months in the hole.
That is a lot of time and a lot of effort just to try to kill a dude.
That's some hate. That is some serious hate.
After the incident, officers checked both cells and discovered several weapons, all made from the parts of the dilapidated building infrastructure. So like rebar, sheet metal, all this stuff that's falling apart. These guys are using to try to create weapons.
Do you fear prison?
Yeah.
Enough so that I try to not commit any crimes.
Let's just say time in prison is a very strong deterrent of mine to try to avoid committing any crimes.
Do you fear prison?
I think
yes.
I think you'd be all right. You'd be okay. Lloyd and I, not so much.
No.
I fear my freedom being taken away, but there's...
Oh, boy.
I don't fear the food. Like I think I could get along with the food.
So you're saying like you'd fight and you'd be all right? I mean, when's the last time you were in like an old school fist fight?
Oh.
And we're not talking about like the golf course.
College days.
You know, the funny thing is the last fight I was in high school on a golf course.
Mine was college days at a club.
Was that on the recruiting trip where the dude just wanted to get into a fight?
It's the last time I remember punching somebody out of anger. Yeah. And that goes back to 1998. So it's been a long time.
There was a certain
But I scuffle quite a bit with wrestling.
So yeah, but not out of anger.
Not out of anger. Fun. So I think I'd be okay self-defense wise. I think I'd be all right with the food. I just would hate the prison aspect of the freedom. And I don't think I could ever find myself that angry at somebody that I'm digging through a wall. And you, because you know, if he was on like a 10-year, you know, it's going to go to a life sentence.
Yes.
Assault with a deadly weapon.
But here's the thing. He was on a charge of theft of stolen property, possession of a firearm, and possession of marijuana. Like, that's not a long sentence.
That's not a long sentence.
Fairly minor.
I would think you're probably getting out in a couple of years after that, but not now.
Is there anything anybody could do to make you that angry at them?
Just something to family members.
Yeah, short of hurting your family. That's about it. This guy didn't hurt this guy's family.
I couldn't have.
Maybe he insulted his family. But even then, you got to have.
Just words.
Look how, Lloyd, look how thick that wall is that guy chipped through. And he didn't even have a poster of Raquel Welch to put on top in front of it.
Say you, fuzzy britches.
Just about the time she was revealing her secret.
You know, that is probably one of my favorite all-time movies.
Yeah. Oh, it's really top, is. It's top five for sure.
Easily top five.
I think prison movies in general, man. Dirty Dozen. You go through, like, all prison movies are just phenomenal.
What's the one? Is it Escape from Alcatraz? Is that with...
That's one of my favorites.
Clint Eastwood?
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. You think he lived? You think those guys lived?
Okay, so I've actually got a lot of theories about this. It's the England brothers,
yeah,
that were absolute masterminds of escape. And then Morris was his last name.
I'm yeah.
Frank Morris.
Frank Morris, yep, good call.
Those three were never found. Their bodies were never found.
Correct. Now,
50 years after the escape, somebody sent a postcard to the law enforcement saying that he was Frank Morris and that he had made it and he had lived. They could never substantiate that. So they never actually found him, identified him, but they did have some correspondence with one of the three that claimed he made it and was a free man.
I mean, that's a heck of a swim.
Yeah, so they recreated the swim. They recreated the whole escape with a high-level swimmer and in that bay, but not at night. They did it during the day, but they did it the same time of year, and the guy made it.
The guy did it?
He did it. He made it. But
those are some cold waters, my man.
A couple things. Number one, he had boat assistants that went by him, so he didn't have that fear of, I'm going to drown. And number two, they made sure that none of the sharks, they because there were a lot of sharks in that bay.
Is there sharks in that bay?
A lot of sharks.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Shark-infested waters.
Probably why they built it.
They were making sure that this guy wasn't going to get hit by sharks. But the number one assumption is that they drowned and sharks ate them.
Yes.
That was the.
Well, I didn't know about the sharks, but I think they all assumed that they drowned.
Now we'll take all of those things and we'll go to my theory. My theory is all three of them made it.
I mean, I don't want to glamorize escaping from prison, but I kind of hope they did.
I think all three of them made it. And I think they got out of Dodge and lived out whatever existence, whatever shell of an existence they could possibly live out. I think living a life with the law after you would be miserable.
Unless you go to Mexico.
The one thing that holds me from really trumpeting that belief, once they hit that year allotment, whatever that year allotment was, that they could no longer be recharged and recommitted, they could have been millionaires and they could have been famous if they would have come forward.
Wait a minute. There's a point where you can, if you escape from prison,
yes,
that you can say, hey, I escaped from prison and it was like 10 years ago. Like, they can't put you back in?
And I believe it was 30-ish years really? For those guys that they could have come forward and been like, hey, we're the England brothers. Hey, I'm Frank Morris. We escaped. Here's our identity. This is...
If I'm the government, I'd still want to lock you away.
You would, but you can't. Huh. And how famous would they be?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So that always made me wonder why they wouldn't have come forward. Hmm. What is that time period? What's that called?
Well, there's the statute of limitations.
That's it.
But that's for not being convicted of a crime. Yeah. Here they've been convicted of a crime.
It was like a 30-year period that it was like considered that statute of limitations where they could not have been reconfined.
Wow. All right.
Talking D.B. Cooper next.
Well, I love that whole, my tour through Alcatraz, that's one of my favorite tours all time.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's been a long time. It's been so long, I had a Sony Walkman walking me through that thing. That's how long ago it was. I had the old cassette tape.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff Donovan's hanging out with us. 801-895-3777. That is the number to call if you're a business owner. You know, and here's the thing, Jeff. We're talking about businesses, but this also applies to churches, charter schools, daycares, nonprofits. All of those can qualify as well.
That's right. And we're not talking any conspiracy theories.
I know, right? This is legit.
This is real stuff. These are real refunds for businesses and organizations, whether it's a business or church or charter school, any organization that had W-2 employees during 2020 and 2021. You can receive up to $26,000 per full-time employee if you qualify.
And the best way to find out is just to call. And again, the phone call's free, the consultation's free, all the paperwork's free. And if you get, the only time you pay is when the government sends that check back to you.
That's correct. So the best thing to do is give me a call because I can walk you through and see if you're the right fit for the program to see if you qualify through either revenue reduction or supply chain disruption or partial or full shutdown. And that requires a little bit longer conversation about your business and whether you qualify. If you do, I've helped Zone listeners get anywhere from $20,000 to $2 million in the last 2 months. I'd like you to be the next one.
I love this, too. And you mentioned that overall you've saved people, you've gotten people $25 million back along the Wasatch Front, but Zone listeners, nearly $10 million.
Yeah, I went back to look at the numbers after I said that. I thought, oh, maybe I'm a little bit too high. It actually was just under, a little over $8.6 million in the last 60 days for Utah Zone listeners.
And that is just in the last 60 days. That is incredible. And there's probably some of those people that called in like, hey, probably can't do anything, but let's just find out just in case. And I got to imagine that's a fun phone call to make when you're like, no, actually we can, and we can get you a lot.
Yeah, in fact, I had one just call me in the last 30 minutes. I was listening, and he called and said, I'm not sure if I'm going to be the right fit for you or not. We went through it, and I told him he's probably going to get $80,000 to $100,000, and he was pretty dang excited.
Wow. Hey, whoever that is, Hans and I, you know where to find us because we just sent him your way. 801-895-3777. Yep. Let's go. Call right now. Jeff's ready to help you out. 801-895-3777. Jeff, I think it's important for people to know, too. They're going to be chatting with you. It's not some national service where they get lost in the shuffle with somebody that they don't know or can't understand on the phone. This is local. You are a local guy, and you're ready to help local people.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You're just going to talk to me with my experience, and I've got a back-end processing team that will process and do all the calculations and determine how much you qualify for. But I'll do all the pre-qualification, and you'll be talking with me, and I'll be sharing my experience with you and my input and seeing if it's the right fit for you.
Let's go. 801-895-3777 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.